Good morning. Today's daf is Samechei in Zvachim. We are going to start today on the Mishnah on Samech Amud Beis, the second Mishnah. The two Mishnah is on the daf. We're going to be looking at the second Mishnah. We're going to be discussing our discussion today begins with Olas Ha'of. Okay, go back to some of the most basic information regarding karbanos that are brought from a bird. Before we even start there, just to understand the sequence of the Mishnayos that we've been doing and why all of our attention now is going to be turning to the birds, Chatas Ha'Of and Olas Ha'Of. So it's really because of the Mizbeach, meaning the central figure in this set of Mishnayos in the sixth parak of Zvachim is the Mizbeach. Mizbeach really is a feature, the featured item of the parak, and so we discussed the Mizbeach with a lot of detail regarding. The dimensions of the Mizbeach, the ramp of the Mizbeach, the Sovib, the Yesod, a lot of the most basic pieces of information. We compare different various Mizbechos, the Mizbeach of the Mishkan, the Mizbeach set up by Yehoshua, the Mizbeach set up in Shiloh, the Mizbeach set up by Shlomo HaMelech, the Mizbeach set up in the Bais Sheni. So we spent the ramp, we spent a lot of time talking about the Mizbeach, and the various corners of the Mizbeach. We talked about the southwest corner. Once we got into the southwest corner, so it led us to the discussion of what is done in the southwest corner. Some of the things that are done in the southwest corner involve the birds, meaning the karbanos that are offered from the birds. So as long as we're here, so the Mishnah then took the opportunity to talk about the birds, and the Mishnah is going to be talking about the birds throughout the remainder of this parak, which is today's daf, and tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow, God willing, we'll finish the sixth parak, and also the seventh parak as well. Seventh parak, another parak, discussing the topic of the birds. When it comes to birds, and karbanos is concerned, so it's actually a lot simpler in that when it comes to a bird, the bird can be offered only as one of two types of karbanos. It can either be offered as an ola, or it can be offered as a chatas, and that's it. In other words, birds cannot be offered as any other type of karban, not a shlamim, not an asham, nothing else. In other words, either it's going to be a chatas or an ola. In terms of the procedure is concerned, so the Torah is pretty clear regarding the procedure. As we're going to be learning in the course of the daf today and tomorrow and the next couple of days, there's going to be some more details coming out through the Torah Shebaal Peh, but the Torah Shebaal Chlav is pretty clear in terms of what exactly is done with the bird. If you take a look, we're going to look just quickly at first glance at the Pesukim in the Torah. So the Torah discusses the birds at the beginning of the Parsha, Parshas Vayikra, at the end of the first parak. First parak of Vayikra is dedicated to Karban Ola. Karban Ola offered by an animal, large animal, smaller animal, smaller animals, meaning sheep and goat, and then the birds. And so at the end of the first parak of Vayikra, V'im Mina Of, Ola Karban Ola Hashem, this is parak Aleph, Pasuk Yedalad, and if the person's going to bring an Ola, he's going to bring from one of two types of birds. Now, there are many birds in the Torah that are kosher. In fact, most of the birds in the world are kosher. Okay, we do have a problem. This problem existed for a long time. In other words, going back to the Zman HaRambam, going back even earlier. So we do have a problem of identification, meaning what the Torah gives us in terms of birds that are consumable versus non-consumables, the Torah gives us a list of 24 types of birds, 24 species of birds that are not kosher. Outside of that, enjoy, right? Go out into the world, go find a bird, and go eat it. Okay, since the time the Torah was given, some 3,300 years ago, so we do have a problem of identifying which birds are the 24 that I mentioned in the Torah, and which ones are not of those 24 birds. And as the Rambam writes very clearly, we need a Masorah. We need a tradition in terms of being able to eat a bird. But that's in terms of kashrus, that's in terms of achila. In terms of bringing birds as a karban, the Torah only caps it at two types of birds that can be brought as a karban. Only the tor and the ben yonah. That's it. Those are the only two. In English, they translate as turtle doves and doves. Okay. If that helps, that's great. So, v'krivo, kohen al mizbeach. We're continuing now in the psukim. And the kohen's going to bring them to the mizbeach. Malach et rosh show. And he's going to shecht the animal. Now, I'm going to use the word shechting, but as you're going to see over the course of today's daf, especially as we get to the end of today's daf, we don't mean shechting in the classic sense. Meaning, I don't mean a knife. Meaning, we're talking about the kohen using his hand. And on top of that, we don't even mean from the front of the neck, which is normally where shechita is done. We're talking the back of the neck. We'll talk more about Malika later on this morning. So let's reserve that discussion. V'iktira mizbecha, and then you're going to be burning it on the mizbech. V'nimsa damo. Later, the Gemara is going to ask such a good question. It's so obvious when you read the Pesukim. And when you read the Pesukim like we're doing right now, it's like you can't even make sense of the Pesuk. The Torah says you're going to burn it and you're going to squeeze the blood. That's out of order. Meaning first you squeeze the blood and then you burn it. Okay, so later on the Gemara is going to deal with that. So, Malakas Rosho V'Kir Mizbeach, you're going to burn it. V'Nimsa Damo Al-Kir Mizbeach. And what you're going to be doing is you're going to be squeezing the blood against the wall of the Mizbeach. So a process known as Mitsui. Now, if you listen carefully to yesterday's daf, you'll notice that by the Karban Chatas, Mitsui may or may not be part of the process. I mean, it did say in yesterday's daf it was part of the process. But the critical part for the Karban Chatas, the Chatas, is the sprinkling, the Hazaya. But when it comes to the Ola, there's no Hazaya, meaning that's not part of the Avoda. The Avoda goes straight to Mitsui. In other words, what you do is you're squeezing the blood along the wall of the Mizbeach, Al-Kira Mizbeach. Then the Torah describes Ve'asiris Murasa Benotzasa. Then what you're going to do is you're going to be removing the Murasa. Murasa is a zephic, it's a crop. We'll talk more about that also in the course of today's daf. Vishichoso Eitzel Mizbech. And what you're going to be doing is you're not going to be putting that on the Mizbech, but you're going to be throwing it. Go back to yesterday's daf. So where is it thrown? It's thrown to the east side of the ramp. Yesterday the Gemara spoke in very specifics in terms of where exactly it is to be deposited. It's deposited on the east side of the ramp. Again, the Torah over here is pretty clear. Not with the kind of specifics that we learned yesterday's daf, but the Torah is pretty clear. So you're putting it on the next to the Mizbech Kedma, to the east. We learned yesterday's daf. It means to the east of the ramp. El Makom Adashin. It's the same place where the Trumas Adashin is deposited every morning. Again, reminder of what we learned yesterday's daf. So what you're going to be doing is you're going to be going to the end of the ramp, the southern tip of the ramp. You're going to be making a U-turn, meaning two left-hand turns. And now you're going, walking along the side of the ramp on its east side. You're going to be going 10 amos on its east side, 3 tvachim away from the ramp. And that's where the Trumas Adashin is deposited. And that's where the crop of the Olas Of is going to be thrown. We learned in yesterday's daf, right? One of the more famous dafim yesterday in terms of the, I mean, how much information do people know in general about Olas Of? But one of the more famous famous lines of yesterday's daf we learned together is that remember that when the southeast is congested, when traffic is high on the southeast, so what's going to now be available is you go to the southwest corner and you could do the Olas Of on the top of the southwest corner. All right, so why the southwest corner? Because as throws go, after the southeast corner, the southwest corner is the shortest throw that the Kohen can make, throwing the crop all the way from the southwest corner to the area that we just identified. It's a long throw, somewhere between 30 to 31 amah throw. The Gemara yesterday spent a lot of time going over those numbers, but in other words, it was a long throw to go from the southwest corner all the way to the Makom Hadashin. Continuing in the Pesukim, again, just right now, just getting familiar with the Pesukim, Vishisa Oso Bechanafav. The Pesuk over here describes a separation. Vishisa Oso Bechanafav, you separate it by its wings. Lo Yavdil, don't make a full separation. V'ikir oso ha-kohen ha-mizbecha, and then the kohen's going to burn the entirety of it on the mizbech. So in other words, except for the crop, which is going to be taken off and thrown into the Makom Hadashin, so aside from that, the rest of the animal is burnt on the top of the mizbech, which makes perfect sense. It's an ola, meaning that's the definition of an ola. Ala itzim asher ala esh, ola hu isher reich nicholach la'ashem. Adkan. Okay, so those are the psukim that detail the ola sa'of. Now, the truth of the matter is that there's another parak later in the very same parsha that discusses the Chatzas Of, but we're not going to be discussing it now, as that was really yesterday's daf. Yeah, today's daf, we're going to be focusing on the Olas Of. With all that stated, let's now turn to our Mishnah. So that's the Torah Shebechsav. Now let's turn to the Torah Shebaal Peh. So we are on the Mishnah on Samech Dalet Amud Beis. And we begin. Olas Of Ketza Nasa. So, how exactly, what is the procedure of the Olas Of? So, Ala Lekevesh. So, the Kohen goes up the ramp. Upanel Sovev. And he turns to the Sovev. Ba'ala Lekeren Dromas Mizrachis. And he's going to be going now to the southeast corner. Hayal Molek is Rosho Mimul Arpa. So, now he's going to be doing Malika. So, it's an insertion of the thumbnail of the Kohen into the back of the neck of the bird. Mimul Arpa. Now, Mimul Arpa, you could translate it as opposite the Orif. It doesn't really mean opposite the Orif. Meaning it's actually on the same side of the Orif. The Orif is back in the neck of the bird. So in other words, Mimul Arpa, as we learned in yesterday's daf, and we're going to say it again right now, it means below the Orif. Meaning the Orif is the back of the neck facing the face of the animal. face of the bird, I should say. So in other words, drop down a little bit, basically where on the front side you would have shechted. So now go the opposite that area, and that's where you're. That's where the cohen is inserting his thumbnail. Umavdil. And what he's going to be doing is he's going to be creating a separation. A separation, Rashi over here points out, and we are going to make this point clear also in the course of today's daf, is that even though the cohen now is going to be starting off in the back of the neck of the bird, which means that he first is going to be hitting the vertebrae, but in other words, as he's moving now to the front of the neck of the bird, he's got to make sure that he hits both simanim, both pipes. In other words, he's got to hit both the esophagus and the trachea. Umitza is dam al kir mizbech. And then what he's going to be doing is he's going to be squeezing the blood along the wall of the mizbech. Natos arosh vehikiv beis malika sola mizbech. So then he's going to be taking off the head, and he'll be he'll be throwing that in the direction of the mizbech. Meaning he'll be burning on the mizbech. However, before he does that, v'safka b'melach, he's first going to dip it in salt. In other words, apply salt to the area of the cut. Vizarko agabe ishin, and then he's going to throw it on the fire. So in other words, like all karbanos, where salt is applied to the karban, so this is what the kohen is going to be doing with the head. Bala luguf, now the kohen is going to be turning his attention to the rest of the body, because so far the only thing that went on to the mizbech was the head of the bird. Now he turns to the rest of the body of the bird. Vehisir's maravas anotza, ves b'nei hama'ayin. So he's going to be removing the crop together with feathers. In other words, as the gemara later on will be clear, this is not surgery, and he's not going to be opening up the animal in terms of removing the crop. He's going to be removing the crop together with the hide of the bird. So that means to say that he's going to be removing some feathers as well.
He's just going to do it with his bare hands.
That's what it sounds like. In fact, the Gemara...
But to get the crop, you have to kind of dig in with your fingers and tear it apart, right?
Okay, so you're coming from a perspective of never having done this. So in other words, I can only describe it. I don't have any experience with this, but apparently. And again, the Gemara later on will be very clear in terms of the Kohen having to do it with his hands. So he's going to be removing now the front chest of the bird together with the crop, together with the intestines as well. The crop, just in terms of a little anatomy and a little biology, so when the bird does his digestion, so the bird doesn't have teeth, the bird is not chewing his food. So what the bird does is that the bird has a sac towards the beginning of his esophagus, he has like a little pouch, a little sac, and that's where the food is going to get ground up. I learned this on the tennis court. I know that sounds funny, but it's true. The bird consumes some stones, some small stones, keeps those stones in his crops, and basically what those stones do is it allows for masticating, for the breaking up of the food in the crop. So this is where the first part of digestion is done. So the Mishnah says that what he's going to be doing is going to be removing the mora vesenotz of its b'nei amayim. So he's going to be removing these parts of the bird. Hayotzi mimav v'shlichon lebeis hadeshen. He's going to be throwing to the beis hadeshen. Shisa v'lo hivdil. Now what he's going to be doing is he's going to be separating, but he's not going to make a full separation. Now this is something we saw in the Torah. V'im hivdil kasher. Now, if while doing this, he's going to be end up making a full separation, so the Mishnah says that's not the end of the world. It's not ma'akev. So if Melech, now what he's going to be doing is he's got the remainder of the bird, meaning the only thing he removed from the bird was the crop, together with the intestines, together with some of the front of the hide of the bird around the chest, but in other words, but the rest of the bird's in his hands. So if Melech, he's going to apply salt to it, v'zorko gabe ishim, and he's going to throw that on the fire as well. Okay. Lo heisi amar v'lo anos v'lo v'zbenei amayim hayosi mimam v'lo safka b'melech. If he did not remove the crop together with the feathers, together with the intestines, and or he did not apply salt to it, kol sheshina ba me'acher shemitzas adama k'shera. So even though he missed mitzvos of the carbon ola, the ola sa'of, nevertheless it's going to be kasher. Meaning, it's not ma'akev. Meaning all these are mitzvos, these are all things that are need to be done by the kohen regarding the bird, but it's not ma'akev. The critical component of the bird in terms of avoda's concern, what provides a check for the owner that the bird was in fact brought was mitzvah adam, was the squeezing of the blood of the bird on the side of the Mizbech. It's very similar to what we described regarding an animal. Meaning regarding an animal, what is the avoda? What's the key avoda? Zrikas Adam. Once Zrikas Adam is concerned, there are many more things that the Kohen needs to do, but if he doesn't do them, it's not ma'akev. It's not essential. It's not critical. Same thing with the bird. In other words, the removal of the crop together with the feathers, the throwing of the crop onto the Beis Hadeshen, all these are important. They're all mitzvos. But in terms of what's ma'akev, mitzvah is ma'akev, only mitzvah is ma'akev. Hivda b'chatas v'lo hivda ba'ola pasal. If the Kohen made a full separation regarding the Karban Chatas, then he did not make a full separation regarding the Ola, so it's possible. Meaning, this is one of the defining differences between a Chatas Of and an Ola Sa'of. When it comes to a Chatas Of, so you should not be Mavdil. Meaning, that when the Kohen inserts his fingernail, thumbnail, into the neck of the bird, he's only looking to sever one of the pipes, not both of the pipes. Masha'en came when it comes to Ola Sa'of, when the Kohen inserts his thumbnail into the back of the neck of the bird, he's looking to sever both of the pipes. And this, says the Mishnah, is critical in terms of differentiating between the Chatzos Of and the Ola Sa'of. Mitza as dam arosh v'lo mitza dam haguf psula. If he did mitzui with the head of the bird, but he did not do mitzui with the body of the bird, it's going to be pasul. Meaning, again, mitzui is critical. Mitzui from which part of the bird? Well, there are two parts of the bird. Meaning, once he does shechita on the Ola Sa'of, there's going to be the head, and there's going to be the remainder of the body. Mitzui needs to be done with the guf, not with the head. Dama guf v'lo mitza dama rosh shera. Opposite. In other words, if he does mitzui with the guf and not with the head, that's kasher, meaning that's what he's supposed to be doing. Chata sa'of shemalka shelo l'shma. All right, so I'm sorry. Let's put a pause over here in the Mishnah. So over here in the Mishnah, so the basic procedure in terms of how a Kohen does the Ola Sa'of and some basic distinguishing factors between the Ola Sa'of mentioned in this Mishnah versus the Chatzos Sa'of, which is mentioned in the previous Mishnah. Okay, and the remainder of this Mishnah is going to be a little bit repetitive, but here we go once again with Machshavas. We're going to be talking about Machshavas as we discussed in the beginning of the Masechta and as we discussed extensively throughout the Masechtas. Now, in terms of Machshava, what becomes super important regarding Machshavas? So, as we learned, when it comes to a Chatas animal, going back to the beginning of the Masechta, so a Machshava of Shalol Lishma, or Shalol Lishma, passels the carbon. That's a disqualifier when as it relates to carbon Chatas. That's not true regarding an Ola. Regarding an Ola, it doesn't passel the carbon. So over here, we're talking about birds, but because it's a Chatas, because it's an Ola, let's say, right, our mission here is talking primarily about an Ola. So a machshava of shalo lishmo, meaning a change of designation, where let's say the Kohen says, I know this is a chatas, but I'm going to offer, I'm sorry, I know it's an Ola, but I'm going to offer it up as a, now here he could say shlamim. It's sillier over here, because by birds, there simply is no such thing as a shlamim. Okay, so it's even sillier. But in other words, if it's an Ola, and he's mishana shmo, and he changes the carbon designation, so it doesn't passel the carbon, as opposed to a chatas bird, where their shinui kodesh is a posel, disqualifies. So that's one thing just to remember as we're about to embark in the next part of the Mishnah. Also, we go back to the topic that we spent a lot of time discussing in the Masechta, and we're going to continue discussing, and that is pigul, meaning another machshava that renders a carbon disqualified. It's either chusas man or chusam kamo, where while the Kohen is doing the essential blood of Odas, he has a machshava of either consuming the carbon beyond its prescribed time or consuming the carbon beyond its prescribed place. So this is chutz zman and chutz kama, as we've discussed extensively previously. When it comes to chutz zman and machshava, that's pigol major, meaning that the carbon is not only disqualified, but consumption of that carbon would bring about a karetz penalty. Masha'enkin, when it comes to chutzim komo, so that is a posel, it disqualifies the carbon, but it doesn't result in karis if anyone were to consume it. Okay, with all that stated, let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's read on in the Mishnah. Chatas of shemalka shalol lishmo, if chatas of, where the malika of the coin was done, shalol lishmo, with a change of carbon designation, mitzah dam shalol lishmo, or if mitzah dam was done, shalol lishmo. Or, so in other words, and by the way, right, how many avodas have we discussed right now when it comes to the Chatzos Of? Really two. Because essentially, that's it. Meaning that these are the essential blood avodas. So, if Malika that's done Shalol Lishmo, or mitzvah that's done shalal lishma, or lishma or shalal lishma, or like we discussed earlier, tarovis, a mixture of machshavas of lishma and shalal lishma, or shalal lishma lishma, and it doesn't matter which order you do the tarovis, the mixture of machshavas. So in these cases, the carbon is going to be pasul. Remember, it's a chazas of, so shinui kodesh is a pasul. Olasa of kshira. Now, when it comes to the olasa of, it's going to be kasher, meaning a shinui kodesh designation by the kohen when he does the avoda, so it doesn't pasul the carbon because it's an ola. Remember, this goes, takes us back to day one of the masechta. Uvavashlo asala bal moshem chova. What it does accomplish, however, meaning a shinui kodesh machshava when it comes to an ola. The carbon is still a good carbon, but it creates dissociation, detachment of the carbon from its owner, whereby the owner no longer is the owner of the carbon, and he no longer gets credit for bringing the carbon, and he's got to bring another carbon, like we discussed on day one of the Masechta. Echad chatas of, echad olas of, both by chatas and an ola. Shemalkan v'shemitza esdam amlechol davar shadarko lechol, v'lahakir davar shadarko lahakir, chutz limkomo. If by either chatas or ola, the Kohen has a machshava of chutz limkomo, eating the carbon beyond its prescribed place, so this obviously will render the carbon disqualified. This is pigel minor, but because it's pigel minor, so there's not going to be kares. Chutz lizmano, if let's say while the Kohen is doing these essential avodas for either the chatas or for the ola bird, pigel v'chayav and lav kari. So now this is going to be pigel major if the machshav is chutz lizmano. It's beyond its prescribed time. And again, the Mishnah over here tells us something that we already know because we've seen this time and again regarding pigel. It only gets to the point of becoming pigel when all the avodas are done properly. The rest of the avodas are done properly. Ketzad. And for reasons which, again, this is the style of Masechta Zvachim. This is in general Karbanos. Everything gets spelled out, even though we probably could write the next part of the Mishnah, but it all gets spelled out. Ketzad krav amatir kemitzvaso. Can you give me an example? So the Mishnah says, sure. Malak b'shtika umitzah adam chutz lizmano. Let's say the malika was done quietly, and then mitzvah quietly meaning no bad machshava, and then mitzvah adam is done chutz lizmano, where the squeezing of the blood is going to be done with a machshava chutz lizmano. Oh. Shemala chutz lizmano umitzah adam b'shtika, or the opposite. Malika was done with the machshava chutz lizmano, and the mitzvah is done b'shtika. Oh, shemala umitzah adam chutz lizmano, or the malika and the mitzvah is done both chutz lizmano. Zeu shekrava matir kemitzvaso. So in other words, so you check all your boxes. Not boxes you want to check, but in other words, everything checks. Meaning, you had a machshava chutz lizmano. You did all the essential avodas when it comes to the blood of this carbon. As a result of that, you are now dealing with pigel major. Ketza lo karva matir kemitzvaso. What would be an example where it doesn't result in pigel? So let's say malach chutzim kama mitza adam chutzim mano. Let's say where the malika done by the kohen is chutzim kama. So in other words, that's not a chutzim mano machshava, it's a chutzim kama machshava. And then the mitzvah, the squeezing of the blood, is done chutzim mano. Or let's flip that. Or let's say you did the malika chutzim mano and the mitzui chutzim kamo. O shamalach mitzah adam chutzim kamo. Or you did the malika and the mitzui chutzim kamo. Chatzas of shamalka shelo lishmo umitzah adam chutzim mano. Or the Mishnah continues, we're on the very top of Samachemet Aleph. Or let's say by the chatzas of. Now by the chatzas, there could be another tarovis, which will remove pigel major. And that would be Shinui Kodesh. That is Shalol Lishmo. So by the Chatzas Of, where you did the Malika Shalol Lishmo, and the Mitzvah Adam was done Chutz Lizmano, oh, Shemal Chutz Lizmano and Mitzvah Adam Shalol Lishmo, or we could flip that around, where the Malika is done Chutz Lizmano, and the Mitzvah is done Shalol Lishmo, and any of these examples, Shemal Chutz Lizmano Adam Shalol Lishmo, or let's say both Malika and Mitzvah is done Shalol Lishmo, and all these cases, Zeru Shalol Karav, Hamater Kemitzvaso. This will not materialize, this will not result in pigel major. Pigel major is only when you do all the avodas, and in one or more of the avodas, you have and only have a machshava of chutz lizmano. Lechol kezayis b'chutz kezayis lamachar. If let's say The machshava of the Kohen is to eat a kezayis of it outside and a kezayis of it tomorrow, or a kezayis l'machru, kezayis b'chutz, or to eat a kezayis tomorrow and a kezayis outside, kechatzi zayis b'chutz, kechatzi zayis l'machru, or half a kezayis outside and half a kezayis tomorrow, kechatzi zayis l'machru, kechatzi zayis b'chutz. So in all these cases, again, this is a tarovus machshava, a combination machshava of things that are chutzes manu and chutzim kamo. So in all of these cases, pasul. The carbon now is rendered pasul. The ein bo karis, however, there's not going to be karis. Again, the mission is just spelling everything out. Amar of Yehuda. This takes us back in the Masechta. Zaklal im machshavas zman kadmul machshavas amakom pegol vechayim la karis v'machshavas amakom kadmul machshavas zman pasul ve'ein bo karis. Shitas Rav Yehuda, which we discussed extensively earlier in the Masechta, is that order is significant. If you have the chutz l'zmano machshava first, even if I have another machshava afterwards, everything follows the chutz l'zmano machshava, and therefore it becomes pigo. V'chachamim omrim zevizeh pasul v'ein bo karis. And the chachamim are of the opinion that no. In other words, it doesn't matter which machshava you have first. If it's a tarovus machshava, irrespective of which machshava comes first, so it is not going to result in pigul. And finally, says the Mishnah, lechol kechatzi zayis, lahakir kechatzi zayis, kasher. If it is to consume a chatzi zayis and to be makir kechatzi zayis, it's going to be kasher. Again, if the machshava, if the thought is that there are going to be a consumption, but no one person or no one entity is going to be consuming a full kezayis, so once again, this doesn't result in pigul. Pigul is, in other words, pigul consumer could be either a person or the mizbeach, but pigul needs to be one of the two eating a full kezayis. Like we discussed earlier in the Masechta, the Mishnah is repeating it again. I cannot be mitzaref a chatzi zayis of a person together with a chatzi zayis of the mizbeach as consumers. So la'echol kechatzi zayis or la'hakter kechatzi zayis kasher she'nachil v'aktar mitzarefin. The achila and the haktara, meaning the two consumers of a person and the mizbeach, cannot be mitzaref to create a full consumption of one kezayis. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Mishnah. We are now continuing. We are starting with the Gemara on Samech and Aleph, and we start today with an extraordinarily long brisa. In this brisa, what we're going to be learning together is the idea that all these halachas that we learned, together with a couple of other halachas that were not explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah, could be learned out in the classic Torah Shabbal Peh style from the Pesukim. Now, the Pesukim we already covered earlier this morning in the beginning of the Daf, and as by way of introduction, and we're going to revisit these Pesukim in the course of the Gemara's discussion. I counted up, basically, there are 6 points that the Brisa is going to be making. Okay, and the Braisa is almost going to be taking us to the bottom of the Amud. Tanur Rabbanan. The Gemara starts with the Braisa. The Krivo. Okay, the Torah, when describing the Ola Sa'of, again, this is the end of the first parak of Vayikra. V'hi Krivo, the Torah says, and you're going to offer it. Matam Olam Elefishin Emer V'kriv Min HaTorah O Min B'nei HaYona. Because the Torah, when describing the bird, says that you're going to be offering, meaning Pasuk Yudalid, the first Pasuk in the Torah that describes the Ola Sa'of, it says you're going to be offering from Torah B'nei Yona, birds, in the plural. I might have thought that the only way to offer birds is only as a pair. And by the way, let's make a nice observation. Meaning, generally speaking, when birds are there to substitute for an animal, they come as a pair. Meaning, I'm not going to go through the psukim inside, but go ahead to where the Torah gives us an adjustable carbon ola, right? The adjustable carbon chatas, the ola v'yored, right? Where if a person has money, if a person has means, he's going to bring an animal, one animal as a carbon chatas, and if he doesn't, what does he do instead? He brings a pair of birds, right? One is an ola and the other one is a chatas. And we know regarding a woman who gave birth. In other words, if she is not a woman of means, she's going to bring a pair of birds. Right. In other words, throughout the Torah, birds are brought as a pair. One bring a chatas and the other one bring a nola. So over here, what the Bryce is entertaining is really a wonderful havamina. I might have thought that when birds are being brought, even if they're just being brought as an nola, havamina would be, they should be brought as a pair.
Same sex or it doesn't matter?
Well, it's funny. We're going to learn later in discussing birds that gender does not matter. Meaning, even though an ola by an animal has to be brought by a male, not by a female, but when it comes to a bird, gender doesn't matter. Which is a good thing because most of the time you and I'll speak for myself, cannot identify the genders of birds. You need experts for that, right? Who can identify the gender of the birds. But vis-a-vis carbonus, it does not matter. So that's the Havamina. And parenthetically also, if we could just explain the Havamina just even a little bit better, meaning when you're bringing an animal as a carbon ola, okay, so let me say it better. When you're bringing an animal as a carbon chatas, so who's consuming the carbon chatas? Mizbech gets a piece, the imurim, the kohanim get a significant piece, they eat the basar. Okay. In other words, there's plenty to go around. When dealing with a bird, so when it comes to a bird which is an ola, it all goes up onto the mizbech. Blood is squeezed onto the side of the mizbech, and the bird in its entirety goes up on the mizbech. When dealing with a chatas, what then happens? Bird, the blood is sprinkled onto the mizbech, and then if there's anything left that gets squeezed out, the blood gets squeezed out, and then the entire bird is given to the kohen. So the truth of the matter is that the mizbech gets, aside from the blood, the mizbech gets nothing. So in other words, throughout the Torah, whenever you see a carbon ola v'yared, a woman having given birth, in other words, when you see the Torah saying you have to bring two birds, one as a chatas, one as an ola, meaning, again, if we could think about it rationally, it actually makes sense. Meaning, I bring an ola and a chatas because a little bit for the mizbech, that's the ola, and a little bit for the kohanim, that's a chatas. As opposed to an animal, where within the animal itself, the mizbech gets some, and the kohanim gets some. I'm just giving a somewhat rational explanation, be good or be not good, but somewhat rational explanation why the Gemara is now entertaining a Havamina that when it comes to birds, so birds should come in a pair. And again, when the Torah introduces us to birds, it says, V'ikriv mina torim o min b'nei hayona, meaning that's in the plural. So I might have thought, all this falls into the category of the Havamina of the Gemara, that I would have thought that they should be brought as a pair. So therefore, I might have thought that the bird should come as a pair. Tamalomar vihikrivo. Vihikrivo is in the singular. Afilo preda achas yavi. Meaning that we could bring a bird as a carbon ola, even though it's one bird. That's allowable. And by the way, maybe, and what I'm saying is just speculation. You know, like a carbon, take it with a grain of salt. Thank you. So the Gemara hasn't moved away so far from the Havamina. Meaning it could be that maybe there is a value to bringing a pair of birds, even if they're both coming as an ola. Maybe. I'm not saying, could be. In other words, but as far as the maskana is concerned, a bird can be brought even as a single bird. So that is point number one of the braisa, that when you're offering a bird ola, it could be brought as one. You don't have to bring a pair. El ha-mizbech, you bring it to the mizbech. We're just reading out in the pasuk. This is all still pasuk yud dalet. Right? The kriv min atorim omin b'nei ayona. No, I'm sorry. This next pasuk. Pasuk says vav. Vihi krivo ha-kohen el ha-mizbech. So now we're sitting on the third and fourth word of the pasuk, el ha-mizbech. So this is the second point of the braisa. Matam alam ha-kohen. Matam alam ha-kohen. So when the Torah says the instruction is ha-kohen, so likvolo kohen. In other words, when doing any procedure regarding the bird, I need a kohen. Shiyach valo denhu, because the Gemara says, here's what I could have argued without the pasuk in the Torah. Ma ben son shekavalo tzafon lo kavalo kohen. Look, when it comes to an animal, so it has to be done in the north. A requirement that is not needed by a bird. A bird does not need to be shecht in the north. An animal does. And meanwhile, when it comes to an animal, do I need a kohen for the shechita? No. So oh shelo kavalo tzafon eino din shelo yikvalo kohen. So when it comes to a bird where there's no north requirement, so in other words, the rules have relaxed regarding where to shecht it. So we could now make a very plausible argument. I don't need a kohen for the shechita. I don't need north for the shechita. I don't need a kohen for the shechita. So therefore, that's the argument that could have made. Tamalamer ela kohen, likvolo kohen. So when the Torah says the words El HaKohen, it means that I need a Kohen. Meaning a Kohen is essential when it comes to the Malika of the bird. Okay, so point number two is that Malika Dan has to be done by the Kohen. Point number three of the Braisa. Yachol Yimlakin Abasakin. Malika. Now again, the Torah doesn't give much detail in terms of how Malika is done. The Torah just simply says, Malak Es Rosho, I might have thought it could be done with a knife. Vidinu in the Gemara says, and again, let's make an argument. Mayim Shchita Shelo Kavalo Kohen Kavalo Kli. Malika Shekavalo Kohen Eino Din Shikvalo Kli. When it comes to an animal where I don't even need a coin to do it, and still I need a knife. When it comes to a bird, where we have already established now that the threshold is higher, where I need a coin, so therefore I can make the argument that I therefore need a knife as well. Tam lamar, coin umalak. So no. In other words, when it comes to Malika, the Malika is done by the coin himself, meaning biyadayim, and it's not done with a knife. Now, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Now, over here, Rabbi Akiva is not arguing. Seems like what he's just simply doing is he's buttressing the point. Look, Malika is done on the Mizbeach. Like, we wouldn't even entertain that a non-Kohen should be going on to the Mizbeach. By virtue of the fact that the Torah says that it's done with the Kohen, what the Torah means by that is that the Malika is done by the Kohen. Again, he's buttressing the previous point that Malika is done with the actual hand of the Kohen. And as we'll be discussing in more detail, the thumbnail of the coin. Yachol yimla kena bein malamala bein malamata. Now, where should Malika be done? I might have thought the Gemara now is entertaining a half a minute that it could be done pretty much anywhere. Above or below. Tamalamar umalak vihiktir. Ma'aktara bershom mizbech av Malika bershom mizbech. Well, we know that the haktara of the Ola Sa'of is going to be done on the top of the mizbech. So too, the Malika itself is going to be done on the top of the Mizbech, meaning the Kohen is going to be on the top of the Mizbech. Umalak mimul aref. Where is the Malika done on the bird? So it's going to be done. Now again, the word mimul usually means opposite, but not here. Mimul aref just simply means the aref is the back of the neck, the area that's alongside the back of the neck, meaning that is facing or opposite the front of the neck. Mimul oref. Atomer mimul oref, I know ela minat savar. Well, maybe it's from the front of the neck. Vidinu, and the Gemara says, and if I want to argue, I would have argued that's the front of the neck. Why? Because nemer kana malak v'nemer lana malak. It says it here and it says it later on as well, meaning by the chatas. Malahala mimul oref avka mimul oref. Well, just like over there by the chatas, it's the back of the neck, so too over here by the ola, it's the back of the neck. Well, when it comes to the chatas, maybe over there we know there's no havdalah, there's no separation. Like we've said earlier, by the chatas of the kohen is only there to cut one of the pipes, not both pipes. Masha'ein kain. By the olas of the kohen is making a attempt and going to succeed in cutting both the pipes. Tamalomar malak vihiktir. Ma'aktara ha rosh latzma vaguf latzma af malika rosh latzma vaguf latzma. Well, when it comes to haktar, when it comes to the burning, so we know that the head is burnt separate of the body of the olas of. So if that's true regarding the haktar, so the malika is going to result in the same thing, meaning a full separation of head from the rest of the body. How do I know that the head and the body of the bird are burnt separately on the top of the mizbech? Because when the Torah says that you're going to be makter it, meaning that already is a reference to the burning of the body. And when the Torah says you're burning it on the Mizbeach, meaning I'm going to go back to the Psukim. Meaning what we're saying now actually reads really well in the Psukim. Again, back to Pasuk Tezvav. V'ikrivo ha-kohen al ha-Mizbeach u'malakas rosho, and he severs the head v'hiktir ha-Mizbeach, and he burns it. Oh, now we're saying a good pshat. Meaning what is he burning? He's burning the head. And actually, it's very clear because let's read on in the pasuk. V'nimsa damo. Now you're squeezing the blood. Well, how are you squeezing the blood after you burnt it already? Meaning what first gets burnt is the head, separate from the body. You now are holding the body of the bird in the hand. You're squeezing the blood. El kiram mizbech ve'isiris marasab notzasa v'shichoso etzal mizbech kemal makom adashen. Then you're removing the crop and throwing it onto the base adashen v'shiso aso bechnafav lo yavdil v'iktir aso akona mizbech, and then you're burning it. So in other words, right, perfect. So in other words, we're burning the rest of the body. So the Hitzir Mizbech about Haktara of Rosh Hakatzim Medaber. So the first Haktara is talking about the burning of the head. Okay. Next point of the Braisa. V'nimsa damo. You're squeezing the blood kulo. El kira mizbech v'lo al kira hakevesh v'lo al kira hahechal. V'ezezeh zekir ha'elyon. You're squeezing the blood. Where are you squeezing the blood of the body of the bird? Onto the wall of the mizbech. The wall of the mizbech. Well, the Torah actually says with perfect clarity, al kira mizbech. But which part of the mizbech? So that's where we have now Torah Shabbat Peh. Zekir ha'elyon. The upper portion of the mizbech. Oh, no, al kira tachton. How do I know? Maybe it's the lower portion of the mizbech. Vidinu. And once again, if it's left for an argument, we could have easily argued that it should be done on the lower half of the mizbech. How so? Ma behemah shechatos lamala ola salamata. Look, when it comes to an animal, chatos animal is done above. Ola animal is done below. Ov shechatos lamata. When it comes to the chatos bird, which the chatos is done below, so in adin shal ola salamata. So the Ola for sure should be done below. So ma'otamalomer umalak v'iktir v'nimsa damo. So that's what we're learning from the pasuk, that the malika and the mitsui is done on the upper portion of the mizbech. Look at the verbs of the Torah in order: malak, hiktir, and nimsa damo. V'chid hala adat chala achas hiktir chozem amatza. Now again, like we said already a number of times, but here the Braisa spells it out. You're not burning it and then squeezing the blood, meaning obviously. What the Torah is telling us is that no. In other words, just like the malika is done on the top of the mizbeach, and the burning is done on the top of the mizbeach, I mean, that part's clear, I mean, that's where the fire is, so the mitzu is also done on the top of the mizbeach as well. Ha-ketzad, and so now the Braisa gives us very clear instructions. Hayola bekefesh ufon la-sovev. So you go up the ramp, you turn to the sovev. That is that side, the side ledge. Remember, the sovev, as we discussed earlier in the sixth perek, is 6 amos above ground, which is good, meaning you want to be on the top portion of the mizbech. Uvala lekeren dromas mizrachis, and you get to the southeast corner. Hayamolak is rosho, you are now shechting the bird, but again, malika, with the thumbnail into the back of the neck of the bird. Mimular pa, umavdil, with making a full separation, meaning cutting both pipes, and eventually with the intent of separating the head from the body. Umemata midam al kir mizbech, squeezing the blood onto the wall of the mizbech. Imasal amata miraglav, afilo ama kshira. Now, if you're squeezing it below your feet, you're fine, because remember, you're on the sovev, and the sovev is 6 amas above ground, which means that the midpoint is 5 amas. There is a full amma below the sovev, which is still considered the upper half of the mizbech. So if the kohen were to be squeezing the blood on the side of the mizbech below his feet, as long as it's 1 amma below the sovev, you are in the top portion of the mizbech. That would be kosher. That would be acceptable. Reb Nechemya, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, omrim kol atzma ein ases ela b'rosh mizbech. They believe that no, that everything is done on the very top of the mizbech. My beinayu, why the Gemara says, what's the difference between them? Abai v'ravad amri tavai osem maracha gabi sovev ika beinayu. Can you actually make a fire on the sovev? According to the Tanakhama, you are allowed to make a fire on the sovev. So therefore, immediately after the mitzvah, you can actually burn it on the sovev by making some sort of mini makeshift fire on the sovev. And according to Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, no, you don't make a fire on the sovev. The fire is and only is on the top of the mizbech. So therefore, where should the malika be done? Where should the mitzui be done? It should all be done on the very top of the mizbech. Balo leguf, you get to the body of the bird. Tana Rabbanan. The haser is mara.
If you're swinging on the top, how do you get the blood to the bottom below?
You just, in other words, you're squeezing it on the side of the mizbech, right below his feet. He'll kneel down and he'll squeeze it on the side of the mizbech. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a brisa of Asir es mar asa binot asa zusefek. So this is a reference to the crop. Yachol yakdir besakim v'yitlanu. I might have thought, okay. So in other words, so we're removing the crop. So what you'll do is you'll take a knife and you'll make a cut on the chest of the bird where the crop is. So, and surgery, simple surgery, and cut over there and remove the crop. Tamalamar, binotasa, no, you rip it out with the feathers. So notas as anotsa imah. So in other words, so basically you're ripping it out with the feathers. Abba Yosef ben Hanan Omer, no love and no tal kur kavna ima. So according to Abba Yossi, not only are you taking out the crop, but you're taking out all the intestines that follow together with the crop. Crop is the beginning of the GI tract. So in other words, so you're taking the crop out, but you're taking out also all the intestines as well. According to Tabei Rabbi Yishmael, you actually are going to be cutting with a knife, and you're going to be removing it after you cut, after you make the incision with the knife. So there is, seems to be a machlokas tanaim, whether or not you're going to be cutting it with a knife. Let's go a little bit further this morning.
This knife was not ever described in the kelim of the Mishkan. When they were paying all the kelim, they didn't have a knife.
Right. In other words, well, he's right. In other words, he's certainly not going to be of the opinion that Malika is done with the knife.
Right.
Right. The knife over here, the just one specific purpose of making a hole so that he could remove the crop. Shisa v'lo hivdil. Tana Rabbanan v'shisa en shisa ela biyad. So the separation is done with the hand. Torah, when describing Shimshon ripping apart the lion, so he ripped it apart with his hands. Lo hisir es hamur amasisim deloka Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon d'Tanya. Gemara quotes a brisa quoting the opinion of Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, and our Mishnah does not seem to be following his viewpoint. We learned in a brisa. Am Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon shamati shemavdilim bechatzas ha'of. I heard that you can make a full separation regarding the chatzas ha'of. So over here, our Mishnah says, no way. Meaning, there has to be a differentiating point between the olas ha'of and the chatzas ha'of, and that differentiation point is havdalah. In other words, when the Kohen inserts his nail into the back of the neck of the bird, if it's an olas ha'of, so it requires havdalah. In other words, you have to, the Kohen has to cut both pipes, both the trachea and the esophagus. As opposed to the chatzos, where the Torah says that they does not make a separation. The Gemara here quotes the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who says, "Shamati, I heard shemavdilim bechatzos ha'of, that you can do a havdalah regarding the chatzos ha'of." So, our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. That point's clear. My Beinayu, the Gemara wants to know what's the difference. Rashi over here points out, when the Gemara says, "My Beinayu klamar," Rashi writes, "B'mai kemiflegi," meaning we're not looking for a nafkamin over here. We know what the nafkamin is. Meaning, but what is the basis of the argument? So the Gemara is going to give us one, two, three different ways to explain the machlokas. This morning we're just going to go through the first, and we'll leave two and three for tomorrow. Amar Rav Chisda, mitzu chatzas ha'of ma'akev ika beinayhu. Look, in other words, there's a chatzas ha'of and an olas ha'of. Now, as we already pointed out, there's a simple way of differentiating them in terms of location in the mizbeach. Olas ha'of is done on the top. Chatzas ha'of is done on the bottom. That part's clear. But in terms of the way that the blood is applied to the Mizbeach, so, when doing Malika, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you could do a full separation of head from body, both for the Ola and for the Chatzas as well. What then is subject to the Machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So according to Rav Chisda, it goes like this. Tanakam asavra mitzui chatzas ha'of ma'akev. In other words, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you must be doing mitzui even by the chatas. Meaning to say that, again, by the chatas of, like we learned yesterday's daf, you do the malika, and then first you spritz, hazaah, then you do mitzui. Now, is that mitzui essential or not? So, going back to yesterday's daf, we said, no, it's not essential. Meaning we said in yesterday's daf, if there's blood left over, you do mitzui. But in other words, it's not essential. What the Gemara is teaching us is that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, no, it's critical. Meaning, mitzui is a critical component, but even by the chatas. Everything I said correct, but not according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to the Tanna Kamma. And Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon Safra, mitzui chatas of lo ma'akev, o mechatech basar ba'amahu. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, mitzui is not critical, it's not essential. And Rashi over here points out, meaning, let's take a look at the two Rashis. Tana Kama Savar, Rashi writes, Mitzui Basar Hazah Bechatzas of Ma'akev, you must do Mitzui after you do the sprinkling of the Chatas. Bekevin de Balkarcha Mematz Adam, I Amart Mavdil, Ka'avit Kol Maisa Ola Bechatas, Bechatas. What you're going to end up doing is that everything I did by the Ola, I'm doing by the Chatas as well. Malika Muvdalis, Umitsui de ola mitsuhu de avidba, ula kamantanan de chatas of shanasa kamasa ola, lashem chatas psula. Meaning, and then basically what you're going to have is nothing differentiating the ola sof and the chatas sof. Now, again, I know there is a location issue, meaning chatas of the bird is done on the bottom, the ola is done on the top, but outside of location, meaning if Havdalah is not separating the two, there literally is nothing else separating the two between the Ola and the Chatas. So therefore, according to the Tanakhama, the reason why when it comes to the Ola, you have to make a full Havdalah, cutting both pipes. When you're doing the Chatas, you only have to separate one pipe, is we need something differentiating between the two. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Sever Lama Akiv, Hilkach, next Rashi, Imratzal Havdi Avdil. Meaning, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you want to, when the Kohen does Malika and he wants to cut both trachea and esophagus of the bird, that's fine. V'lo yimatzi l'achar avdala. In other words, just not do mitzui. V'lo avalei maitza ola. And that's how you're going to be able to make a differentiation. V'imishum deshina ba'avdala kevin delav maitza ola maitza l'memar ba'chituch basabamahu. You cut both pipes? Okay, you cut both pipes. Meaning, okay, so you cut it more, you need it to cut. But in other words, you're not going to be doing mitzui for the... You're not going to be doing mitzui for the chatas, and since you're not going to be doing mitzui for the chatas, we have a way of differentiating the chatas from the ola. Okay.
But doesn't that cause severing of the head?
Does it cause a severing? Yeah. In other words, yeah, it may cause a severing of the head.
And that particularly for all of them, the head has to be severed rather than the
correct.
Head.
Correct.
So then, in a way, you're not really differentiating.
Okay. Fair. But because for the chatas, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, you're not going to be doing mitzui, so there is something else that's going to create differentiation between the two. And you just need something in the avoda that creates differentiation. Okay, so today we started with the Mishnah of Ola Sa'of. We went through all the details regarding exactly how the Ola Sa'of procedure is done. The Mishnah took us through another tour of Machshava of Shalol Lishmo, a Machshava of Chutz Zmanuch, a Machshava Chutz Limkomo, Tarovis as well. The Gemara on the top of Samechei Amud Aleph started with the Braisa. The Braisa made six different points regarding the Malika Sa'of, as we learned in the Psukim in the end of the first parak of Vayikra. The Braisa teaches us how we extract the halachas from the Psukim. And then last part we did was whether or not Havdalah is done by the Ola, not by the Chatas. That part's clear, meaning the Torah says that the Mishnayos say it. Is it a din li'ikuva? Our Mishnah says yes, it is. The Gemara notes that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it's not li'ikuva, and we made a distinction between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim.